Are you a creative professional, entrepreneur, or millennial trying to get your life together?
Introducing The Creative Weekly, a podcast made for creatives by creatives.
Not FDA approved, but good enough.
Side effects include laughing, learning, and if left untreated, can lead to success.
See a doctor right away if you experience a new business idea, professional and personal growth,
or internal bleeding.
It's time to get your shit together.
And be creative.
Try the Creative Weekly podcast today.
Welcome to the Creative Weekly. We're not starting, we're starting in about 2 minutes. So basically what this is about is it's a weekly talk every Friday at 1 p.m. and we're talking about basically all the tips and tricks.
Yes, today we're talking about the money talk and the money walk, how to manage, maintain, and grow your income as a creative, freelancer, and entrepreneur. So there's some really cool tips in here, real life stuff. Stay tuned.
Yeah, and we have two angles, as you can see. And clear like Victoria skin. Mad. Yo, Victoria, I'm loving you now. This is please do not disclaimer. This is not financial or legal advice. This is just our opinion.
Yes.
So take it to your accountant if you need for, you know,
yes.
And someone who is verified.
Or your financial advisor friend.
Or my financial advisor friend, which I'll mention later.
Yes.
Kinesia Mays, Thriving Dollars. So we're just a minute out. We're going to start shortly. Hi, Jewel. Hey, Jewel's back. Hey,
Jewel. Thank you.
Yeah, so we have the two angles up now, and it's working perfectly because we find a solution, because we don't give up. So while we wait for a few more people to come in, let me show you how do I switch the camera on. Yeah, this is our setup. We're recording. So this
you're
is going
showing
to...
The, okay, now you're showing
it. Yeah. So we're going to... There's a light. There's that. We have a camera there. We have a laptop there. We have our mics there. And this is going to be a podcast. And it's going to be on all the popular streaming services. And it's going to be on YouTube, right? Yeah.
And don't forget to follow The Creative Weekly on Instagram. It's at The Creative Weekly. No space, no nothing, just at The Creative Weekly. Go follow it, guys.
Yeah, so follow us. So essentially, and follow Victoria. Victoria knows best. Oh, let me add it right here. So essentially, while I do that, essentially what we are talking about each week is tips for freelancers, creative entrepreneurs, creative professionals in the Caribbean and globally. Just from our experience and point of view, this is season one. The book isn't ready. The giveaway.
Yeah.
All right, so Jewel. All right, so last week we were supposed to give away a book.
Yes.
But what happened? We had a lot of stuff dealing with for shoot and fixing out all of that stuff. So, and then shipping is taking long.
Yeah.
So we'll let you guys know. When we have the book in hand, we'll be giving away that book. And we'll be giving away a book every week. Every week or every 2 weeks?
Every week?
Yeah, every week. So we'll give away another book this week. So we'll just have two giveaways.
They can be self-help books or even really nice fiction books that can help you within life that have really good lessons.
Yeah. All right, cool. So stand by, guys. Let me just add the hashtags. And then we're going to get started in 2 minutes. The Creative Pearson Organ Bridgen.
The Creative Weekly.
No, there's not an X. Why am I putting that?
Are you thinking about the X?
No. Supposing Jesus Christ. Supposing up on the call. Hey, what's up? We're almost ready. Sorry, I'm just adding the tags so you guys know where to go. And then, okay, the Creative Weekly.
It is time.
The Digital Jamaican is here, Kadia. That's right.
Hey, Kadia,
what's up? All right, cool. Plug. Oh, and how do I pin this thing? I always forget.
Hold it down? Yes.
So I don't come up, see? We're coming, guys. Oh, pin. There it is. So that's the page. All right. So we are ready to begin. We have a few people here. So let's begin. So this week's topic is the money walk, the money talk. We'll be talking about we'll be going through about keeping track, setting prices and presenting prices. Where should I put my prices? Paying yourself, investing in your business, financial goals, both personal and business. And then also plug in someone that I've personally, talking about personally, an experience I had with a financial advisor, Miss Kenesha Mays from Thriving Dollars. And hopefully by next season, we'll have her on to give you more direct to person advice. So as I said, this is a Creative Weekly and I'm your host, Randy Richards.
I'm Victoria Taylor. I'm a digital content marketer. Randy is an amazing photographer and filmmaker. And together we are two creative, crazy people. And today's wine is brought to you by CK, MacDevin and family.
Mandavi
and family. It's under $2,000, so it's a great wine to have.
Oh, I can't hear Victoria. Hold on.
Oh.
Stand by. Hold on. Let's see. All right. Take
it's
this.
A pod thing.
Yeah, okay. Take that and see. Yeah, if not, I'll just take it out.
Can you guys hear me now?
Can you hear Victoria and can you guys hear me? She sounds distant. Can you hear her now?
Can you hear me now?
Testing. Can you hear her now?
Can you guys hear me now?
It sounds like the Nextel. What's the ad that? She sounds just like, oh no, I don't think them here. I take both of them out. All right, cool. Since we're not having an echo. All right, testing again.
Can you guys hear me now? Woo.
Can you guys hear us now? Testing. Testing. A little better.
A little better.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right, perfect, perfect. Sorry,
so,
guys.
So, again, today's wine is brought to you by CK Mandavi and family. It's a very nice, smooth, fruitful taste, bold blend. It's a mixture of Merlot, Sauvignon, and Malbec. So, if you want a wine that's under $2,000, we would recommend this. It has a really fruity taste, full body, and we're also looking for wine sponsors, FYI.
FYI.
So every week, we're also going to introduce the wine that we're drinking.
Yeah, every week we have wine because, you know, why not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wine.
All right, so bless up, everybody. So next thing before we go jump into the first topic, this is a very interactive live. So we want you guys to use the question marker, which should be beside your comment box, to ask a question so we can jump in and see them and answer them as we go along. And any questions around the topic about money, pricing, handling, stuff like that, wagwan and jig, bless up. Bless up, pirate boy.
So, guys, be sure to use it. This is the whole point. The podcast is done live. We answer your questions in real time. So go ask your questions in the comments or use the question marker that's right by your comment section at the bottom. And we'll answer your question along the way. So
And if you can't see the question marker, that means you need to be following, I think, me or Victoria. I think it's me since I'm hosting it.
Yeah.
And Kadia, she says she wants to win a free bottle. When we get the wine sponsor, we'll sort you out. Right now, we're giving away books.
We're giving away books, knowledge first.
Yeah.
All right, so let's...
Move your mic over a little bit more.
Right
to, yeah, good.
All right, so let's get started.
All right, cool. So first topic...
Keeping track.
All right, cool. So,
and I think, Randy, you would be the best person to do this.
Hey, Adrian.
One of the few people I know who actually keep track of your finances. You know, you have a full-blown business. So how do you keep track and what are the tips when keeping track? And why is it hard to keep track? I find it sometimes hard to keep track of my finances. What's up?
All right, cool. So for me, keeping track has been something that... All right, so my mother was a business teacher. And she basically, she's a POB, principal of business, for anybody who know me from a long time. And that kind of bred into me naturally. She's very organized, very meticulous. So I kind of grew into that. So when I started off in my internship, whenever I had stuff like billing, I need to send my billings and stuff, I'd record them. So I started using this platform called Wave at the time. Actually, no, I didn't use Wave. I used it... I think I just did like a random online invoice
Excel
sheets or so.
But Wave is a good app.
Yeah, Wave is
a
good app.
You can take a picture of your invoices as well.
Yeah, exactly. So when I started, I would create an invoice for every job because my clients needed it. And then when it comes to getting paid, if you don't send people your invoice, it's like your invoice is almost like a contract. So I always make sure that I send an invoice to people. Back then, I didn't keep track as much. I save all my receipts because that's something that my mom always do. So I always save my receipts and I always send an invoice, no matter how small a job is. And then over time, I started to know, like after I amassed a bag of receipts, I started to actually, you know, enter them into some kind of organized system.
What happened for you to realize that keeping track actually helped you to manage your finances better? Because it's one thing like, oh, keep track, but like, what was the moment that hit you when you realized that keeping track actually helped you?
Yeah, well, when it comes to planning, because when you're in a business, are you working as a freelancer, as a professional, even as a young one, when you're starting and you realize, are you doing this bag of work, you're charging these prices, and you're after a few months or so, you realize like after a year, like, wait, what am I doing? I'm paying for my apartment, or I'm paying to help my parents at home. I'm trying to buy equipment. I'm trying to get things. And I'm like, wait, why am I not getting further? Why am I can't afford? Why am I working so hard and I'm not able to get further ahead or invest back into my business? So I was like, oh, this can't work. I can't broke forever. I do this. So I was like, well, I need to know what I don't know. And I knew that I didn't know a lot. So what I did then was just Google. The first thing that I did was just Google and just find out how to keep track, what do other people do, financial management, just anything that I could find, I just tried to ask. And if I had friends, I would ask my financial friends about it or what them do. And generally, as I say, I'm a mathematician kind of person. I'm very organized. So it sort of came naturally for me to do that. I think after I finished at Smirnoff and I moved on fully to my own, where I didn't really have as much, I did have a lot of work coming in from them, but I still needed to supplement my income.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, all right, I really need to keep track because I need to pay my rent every bill. I need to pay my this and that and invest in some life insurance. So all of those things kind of came together.
What do you use to create your invoice? I use Canva to create my invoices, and they also have invoice templates, so you can easily just start using them. So how did you, where do you create your invoices? Do you use Wave? Do you use an Excel sheet? How do you, or do you just send an email, say, yo, this is how much you're supposed to get for the month? How do you do your invoices?
All right, so for my invoices, before then I used like Free Invoice Maker. They give you a limited amount of invoices per month, and you can just save them, and if not, you can screenshot it. But after a while, I started using this one called Wave Apps, which I'll write it, Wave Apps. So Wave Apps, WaveApps.com. And that is a free platform, and it allows you to do invoicing, send invoices out to your customers, send reminders for all of those. And so it's up, and it's completely free. So, and it's a pretty much a full, I use it right now with my accountant, and that's the platform that I use. And I used to use QuickBooks before. So, and with my same accountant, and after transition that works. So Wave is what I use now.
But if you feel like having an app is a little bit too complicated for you, because sometimes money is scary, an Excel sheet can work, or you can use Wave app. Wave is like a good interface, especially if you're not on money, because you come from a money background in a sense. For me, like finances, so Wave is actually a good app for both.
All right, and then hey DTS, or Jake says he uses Wave too. Hi Mr. Eddie daughter, bless up. Quirky Rebel says she uses Wave too.
Cool.
Caesar says save invoice like old man. Bless up Stafford Mocha, thanks for being here, Bridging. Bless up Adrian. I wish, Adrian, you should talk out. You should drop in the comments about pricing for professionals, which I haven't fully read yet, but that's a good book to recommend. It's also an expensive book, it's a good book.
Okay.
Cool. So,
the next topic is setting prices and presenting your prices.
So, Victoria, tell us how do we go about setting our prices? What should we do as, you know, all of us are creatives. We do different things.
Yeah.
Some people do filmmaking, some do photography, some do graphic design, some do seamstressing, whatever it is, designs. How would you suggest in a general way that people should go about, you know, doing their invoices and setting their prices and so on?
You know what I find the most, no matter what you do as a creative, you find that the price that you charge customers is tied so much to your worth and your work. So it's always hard for people. And I've even heard people who have been working for, who've been doing the same thing for years, and they said they still struggle to find out the price. And I feel like it's just, I have a video on a 7-point pricing strategy, but the number one thing I would say is find out what other people are charging, find out the lowest and the highest amount, and see if you can meet in the middle. And sometimes it's almost like you have to kind of like test it out, because maybe you have your first client and you say, all right, pay me, you know, this amount. And if them say yes too quick, you charge too low.
If them say yes too quick, your price was too low.
And then you don't want it to be too high, but you still want it to be enough. So I would say, after you've kept your invoices, see what your expenses are. Find out how much you need. Like, how much do you need per client in order for you to survive, right? Mm-hmm. If you're starting out. How much projects and how much money can I charge per project for me to survive and live off of this? And then you start growing from there. And as you grow and you start, you know, putting your skin in the game, then you begin to realize, oh, but this stylist is charging X amount and I do way more work. Prices go up. This person is doing less than me, but this person is doing more, but they charge less. All right. So it's a middle ground, because you want to be competitive. And also, how you price is how you brand. You cannot be charging people expensive prices and your personal brand and your brand is cheap.
Yeah, let me that's just tell true. You that. That's true.
You can't, it has to match up. If you're going to price some luxury prices, you have to have a very nice luxury brand and have to give customer service. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to setting your prices, again, be clear about presenting your prices. Yeah. You can either do sometimes people find it that you charge $400 or you can charge $9.99. But when you have something that's not very rounded, it can turn people off. Like, why do you need $5,878.39? What's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, but if you have rounded numbers that people feel very safe with, or mm-hmm. if you want to do a sale where you're like $4.99 instead of saying $500, sometimes that works with people. You take $2 off.
Yeah,
it makes
yeah,
a difference
yeah.
because pricing, look up pricing and money psychology. How people buy is so tied to how they see value. So mm-hmm. look that up and just, as again, check out what your competition is pricing. Check out what your friends are pricing and meet in the middle ground or decide to, you know, go high or low. It's up to you, but you have to push it up. You have to put it into work to see what works. Because when I first started, I charged low. And as I grew, I started to charge medium. And stand by your pricing. That's it. Stand by your pricing. Whatever you price, bold, strong and proud, wrong and strong.
Wrong and strong if you're wrong.
Wrong and strong if you're wrong. But just stand by your pricing and learn.
Yeah, and to add to Victoria's tip, I feel like, so when you, two things. When you're researching prices, I know sometimes, especially in Jamaica,
yeah.
persons don't really want to share their prices. If you ask somebody, them not really want to share. So let me tell you something, my story. What I had to do back then, I create some fake profile and email and pretend to me I get married. So when I was trying to find out wedding prices, I said, all right, cool. Well, I know how much them people are charged. Them now go tell me straight up. So I created, other than Googling and seeing what people overseas and in other
yeah.
markets were charging, and for those who had public prices on their website, I create some fake profile. I'm going to email some people. I'm going to say, all right, may I get married next year, April 2, 2016, and it's going to be 50 guests, whatever, filling all of them information. And
send
yeah,
them,
and then send them because
here,
the people,
but,
them,
it works.
But it works, and that's
yeah,
yeah you got to finish.
Culture, we don't talk about pricing online.
We don't talk about pricing.
But
we should, and because you know, being more open and collected together in the industry will help us to kind of not have clients be abusing us for pricing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, sure. If you're just starting, your prices aren't going to be the same as somebody who's 10 years in the game. But at the same time, you don't want to be so far lowballing that you're
yeah.
being abused by the client. We all have to start somewhere, but just don't start at the, you know, don't start at the rock bottom.
Yeah.
yeah.
So as so check out your competition that way. Send out some emails. Do some investigation.
Yeah.
All right. And I think the next point is, where should I put my prices?
Before I go to that, I had a second thing. What's the other point? You said about, first thing was about the pricing.
Pricing
and
your
how
worth,
it worked.
Standing
and,
by your word
yeah.
and your price. And test it out, because if somebody says yes too quick, you probably gave them a low price.
Yeah, probably gave them a low price. Right, I don't remember what it was.
Okay.
Right, cool. Somebody's asking, here, guys, sessions. K2RE is asking if we recommend apps and how do you factor keeping track of your online security with apps?
Have too many apps. Have one app to keep track of your finances.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wave. I'll see a lot of people in chat saying they use Wave. Use Wave. And
yeah.
keep track. When you have multiple financial apps, you're going to get frustrated and you're not going to want to do it.
Yeah.
So just pick one and work with it. And we may recommend Wave because it works for us. But maybe when you try Wave, it might not work for you. So you still have to test out and see which ones work for you. Maybe you need something a little bit more simpler. Maybe you need something more complex.
Yeah, whatever works for you. Yeah, and I mean, as it relates to keeping it secure, there you have passwords. You can use most websites nowadays have two-factor authentication, which requires it to send an email or a message to your phone. So I would recommend turning on two-factor authentication if there's a concern about security and ensuring that you have a very secure password. There are websites that you can use to generate passwords that are secure, as well as if you have, you're a Mac user, you can use Keychain and it can generate a password that works, and it will show you if it's strong or weak or whatever.
And LastPass.
And LastPass, you can use LastPass too for also saving your passwords and managing them. And there are, I'm sure there are a few other password apps, so if you guys want to drop any, you can.
Yeah.
Let's
You're
see. Hey, Fonique, welcome to Jamrock Cruise. Evan Wagwan, that's Victoria's shoes because I'm always switching the camera. Jewel.
My shoes are nice. Though.
All right. Randy Finessing. hiding prices. So Caesar says, hiding prices does nothing to help the industry. If there's a minimum amount, everyone was charging would help to standardize the industry.
That's very
important, and stuff like that, which I think is going to be happening soon. Associations
yeah.
and coming together as a group will help the industry.
Because
the cabinet
if you say, the starting price is 40,
yeah,
and don't go any lower than that, when even if somebody's new or old comes in the game, people, yeah, clients just know,
yeah,
it's nothing lower than this, and that's it. Just like how if you go to KFC and you know if you want a big deal, this, yeah, is the cost.
Big deal.
Whichever KFC you go, that's how it is. But it's something that will take time.
Yeah, because at that point, I mean, and yes, there's still going to be differences with prices at the end of the day. But what we try to encourage is that people don't, like, competing on prices sometimes is a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
And there's a space in the market for that. But personally, that's not the space for me.
Yeah.
So you have to determine what your space, because some people do sell commodities and commodities tend to be cheaper. So it depends on your business and what it is that you want. Jackie Rubin said Bun KFC. Even though I'm talking KEPC. So yeah, next topic.
Where should I put my prices?
Victoria, where should I put my prices?
You should put your prices.
Should I put them forward?
On your... No? Your outfit should say your prices. But
true.
You should put your prices on your website. And if you're... And don't hide your prices. It's such a pet peeve. It's like... It's almost like you're saying you can't be trusted.
Yeah, like those close people on Instagram who say DM me for prices. Why do I need to DM you? The other day we were talking about the saying that it would be easier if... Don't let people have to go through hoops.
Yeah, don't let people have to jump through hoops to find your prices, because that's just going to deter them from finding somebody else. So put your prices on... Have a little Instagram highlight story of your starting prices. You said last time you spoke that even if you don't want to put your full price, say, hey, the starting price is XYZ and it can go up. Put a little disclaimer, GCG. Put it on your website. And also, if you don't want to put your prices because maybe you do something custom made, maybe it's depending on how big or small the project is, you can just have a contact place where it says, do you want a quote? Can I give you a quote? Just tell me what you want. If you put that space on your website, you're professional, you help your customer, and you allow the process of them knowing about you to paying you. So that's something super important. Like, don't hide your prices. It doesn't make you look suave. It doesn't make you look cool. It makes you look like an asshole who's probably going to overcharge somebody.
There you go, facts. All right, let's see. All right, what's the next topic?
Paying yourself properly. And I think
you have the
best in that.
Paying yourself properly. All right, so I know.
Boy,
we're just struggling to put it all in the equipment.
Because you can't pay yourself too much, and you can't pay yourself too little.
Yeah, them always say pay yourself first, so take out your money. I mean,
you buy equipment, so I buy equipment. Yourself first.
Doesn't really work. Yeah, in all honesty, I'm going to be honest, guys. I just try my best to work really hard, and the wine is good. Somebody says the wine is good. I wonder why. When I started out, I just worked like a horse. I worked as much as I can. I remember the point I was trying to make, I had a minimum amount to meet. I know what my bills were every month. So I knew how much money I needed to make just to survive. And then back then, what I did then was that I just tried to make as much as I could. And then the excess surplus went into just actually buying equipment and reinvesting in my business and paying whatever bills are, whatever I needed to do. Now, the strategy is that you really want to take money out. You say you do a job, you know, $100.
Yeah.
You want to take out money to pay yourself first, because at the end of the day, if you don't, you're not okay, there is no business.
There is no business.
You know, there are different methods to go about defining that, you know, but I won't speak on them because I'm not fully informed.
Sometimes it can be as simple as you pay your bills, you buy equipment, and treat yourself a little. That could also be a form of paying.
Yeah. Like maybe make sure you save.
Saving is important.
Yeah.
You know, treat yourself a little. Decide, say, you know what, once a month, I go and buy myself a bucket of KFC.
Yeah.
Somebody said Bun KFC. But
or
you say, I go and buy myself a nice shirt for, you know, client meetings or if something I go on.
Yeah.
Just do that. Or it's like, you know what, let me save and then buy myself something nice in the 3 months.
Yeah.
Because if you don't treat yourself, or that's a form of self-care. Paying yourself or even rewarding yourself is a form of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, then you're going to burn out and then you're going to be the worst, as you said.
Yeah. And then I think my mom would always say to me is that, service your debt. If you have debt, say whether you have credit card debt or you have student loan debt, there are different methods to approach it. Two of them that I spoke about to someone, a financial advisor, recently through YLI, is you have one effort where you pay off your smallest debt first, little by little, and then because that psychologically it's easier to take that Hill Up, or some people pay the biggest, the one with the highest interest rate off first, because you save the most money. So it depends on what the debt is that you have, but you definitely want to ensure that. Don't, if you have debt, don't throw all your money into just your debt alone.
Because you'll get back into debt.
What
about insurance, so yeah, pension, NHT, taxes, savings, all of these stuff that comes with paying yourself?
First thing, save. Yes, too. First thing, save. Set a 10%. Okay, every month I'll save 10% of my income, no matter what. Take it and hide it from yourself. Trust me, it adds up no matter what. And that's something that I've started doing. And it's like, I check back a couple months and I'm like, wait, when did I get so much money in this account? Because you almost forget it. Have two accounts. And then also, just a side note, don't mix your personal and your business expenses. When you're paying yourself, either take the money out of your business account and put it into cash and put it in a different account, but don't spend your personal expenses and your business expenses from the same account.
And when try it comes to use cash.
And try to use...
Because when you use your card, you just swipe.
You swipe and it's out of the way.
When you take out money onto your wallet and you see how much money you come onto your wallet,
you can see it. Yeah. A good method that I used to use, the enveloping method, I would label envelopes with all the different expenses I have, including savings, everything, and then section out the money into that. And then from there, I know I have whatever. And then when money is left over, I would put that money towards the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Now what I do it all digitally. I don't do it physically anymore. So you have to learn, know what kind of discipline that you have. Because back then I couldn't do it digitally because I would have done my money. But now I can because I keep track of it online. So once you have a strategy, then that's good. As it relates to pension, NHT and taxes and insurance, you want to have...
It
is a part of your savings too. You want to ensure that you have these things, even if it's small. Insurance, for example, life and health insurance.
I think you should wait until you're making a good amount of money, until you're stable, because insurance is something you have to commit to.
Yeah, you have to commit to it. But it can start small because insurance, I started my first life insurance at $2,000.
And it was at $5,000.
And it was ten years ago maybe. And then it was $2,000 I was paying per month, and it was a $3 million coverage.
When we say 2,000 and 3,000, guys, we mean Jamaican dollars. For everybody on the live who's not here, we mean Jamaican dollars.
And anybody listening to this podcast, we mean Jamaica, not 2,000 US.
We're not balling like that yet.
So you want to ensure that you have, even if you don't, have at least health insurance, because you're going to need to go to the doctor, and having life insurance is good for your net worth. It can be used as a
and
collateral
NHT,
and stuff. NHT, yeah.
NHT can be as small as 1,000, 1,005 and up. And again, if it is that insurance, pension, NHT, taxes is something that's too heavy for you because you're not at that point yet, have an emergency fund. Have savings and have an emergency. And an emergency fund can be 5,000 Jamaican dollars.
Yeah.
And you put it down, and whenever an emergency happens, something happened. Because if you just use your regular money for your emergencies, you're gonna get screwed.
Yeah, like coronavirus time now. Cool. All right, so yeah, let's jump from that because we're running out of time. All right, so Mr. Eddie Dalton says Rich Dad Poor Dad is a perfect read. Yes, it's on my to read list. Jewel Robinson asks, how do you determine when you spend too much on food and treats?
Why?
Well, first,
when you spend too much food. On food,
yeah,
first of all, we have to acknowledge that when it comes to, like, unlike the United States or North America, buying food is so cheap and accessible here.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, buying food in Jamaica is expensive.
Yeah.
Even eating on, and even if you buy from the grocery store, you, as you blink, $15,000, $30,000 swipe. Sometimes we go to the cashier and say, blink if it go past $30,000. You hear? just blink.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to just try and maintain yourself and try, you have, that's a thing you test. You find your way, you test what works, what doesn't work.
Yeah.
For some people, making their own food works. For some people, it's where they buy out their food that works.
Yeah.
So you have to find out what works for you.
For me, what works for me is a mixture of buying out and eating in. A lot of, because of the type of work that I do, I can't always cook.
Yeah.
But I know I can cook my breakfast because I usually get up really early. So I'll cook breakfast and I'll buy lunch. And if I come in late, I don't really eat dinner. I don't like eating late. So I'll eat a supper, something small like a sandwich. So I structure my budget for food based on that. Now, spending too much on food is subjective. I think you have to dip based on your health and how much you eat and what you need to be healthy. Because at the end of the day, health is your wealth. You can't starve yourself. Like, one thing, no matter if it's my last dollar, I spend my last dollar on food than on bills, because I cannot be hungry.
And
you cannot starve.
Work when you're hungry,
and it cannot work on focus.
You will really, trust well,
yeah.
me, you can't work when you're hungry.
Yeah.
You fight people. Wait enough for fights.
And Christina also suggests a book called Richest Man in Babylon.
Yes, that's an amazing book. And I think that book is, Rich Dad Poor Dad is nice, but Richest Man in Babylon is a little bit better because it comes in stories.
Yeah.
And it's more digestible.
Yeah.
So I would say if you're going to start off reading a finance book, Richest Man in Babylon is nicer because it comes in a story theme. It doesn't feel too preachy. And then afterwards, move to Rich Dad Poor Dad because that will drip you up.
Yeah,
that's
there we go.
That's
the question I'll take for now. Caesar asks, do you employ pricing strategies based on MSMEs versus corporate clients? Yes, I do employ pricing strategies because it's value pricing. The value that is for a bigger corporate client or a bigger industry will be different from the value and impact that an MSME will get. So yes, I do price differently for MSMEs versus corporate clients.
Yeah, same.
And I would suggest that strategy for most persons.
And
it's just respectful.
Corporate clients are also a little bit more demanding than SMEs.
That's correct.
So that also goes.
Bless up, Mishi.
All right,
cool.
So the next part,
topic
Randy,
is
investing
in your
business.
Investing in your business.
You have invested in equipment. You have your studio. You have gone through, apart from equipment, because I know it's so easy to say equipment, what did you think was a necessary investment for your business that you knew you needed to have apart from equipment?
Apart from equipment, something.
Something that you had to pay for, whether it was a one-time or recurring payment.
All right. I could say easily, right, where I'm now in my business, an accountant is one, an assistant is another. An accountant, not for daily bookkeeping per se, because I'm generally good at that, but for like filing taxes. Yo, I prefer to have them because not only, I can file my own taxes, but an accountant knows all the different tricks and trades of how to save you money.
And like you said, you can't do everything yourself.
You can do something that Christina just said, time is necessary.
Yeah.
You can do everything yourself. So, and I think it goes, no matter how much it's worth it no matter what. Because accountant will charge you at the end of the year anywhere from 50 or 40 up to maybe 90 to file your taxes.
Depending on how big you are.
So if you're a small company, they probably charge you much less.
Yeah.
And you don't have a lot of information on filing, they will charge you a lot less. But it works because you save money and they can tell you all the facts. Instead of going to research all of the thresholds yourself, the this and the that, and all the claims you can make as a business name or something.
And have stuff from experience.
And have stuff from that you don't know.
There are a lot of money loopholes.
There's a lot of money loopholes. As Vanna just said, leave the job to the professional and the experience and accountant. The second one I would say, a good investment, which both of them realize is personnel, is assistance. Time is more valuable than money to me because you can always make back money, but you can never make back time.
You
lose time.
And you can use time to make money.
Yeah,
focus. You can use money to make time.
Yeah, so you need to. So freeing up myself allows me to think more about the things that I'm supposed to be doing. My creativity, as Vanna just said, my job. My job is to direct. My job is to create. My job is to innovate within the photography. You know, create all those spaces. If I'm thinking about running a business from the top to the bottom every single day, then I don't have the time.
Yeah.
A friend of mine would say, Andre Rob, he would say, you can either work in your business or on your business, but never both.
Yeah.
So when you're working in your business, you're working on your finances and this and that. When you're working on your business, you're working to create more and build your business.
I actually have to. I use Upwork or Fiverr because sometimes
they're cheap.
I get a lot of client work.
You want to take some? I'm going to pour one.
Sometimes I get a lot of client work and I actually need somebody to just schedule content for me. Like, I'll create the content. I'll do that. I just need you to just schedule the client's content for me. And I'll use someone on Upwork or someone on Fiverr that I trust because I've been doing it for a while, so I have people I can trust and do. And them doing that, it's gonna take them 2 hours. That 2 hours I can use to manage something else for a client. I can use that to start thinking of new ideas and how to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another investment for me is ads. As a marketer, I
the wine dropped.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry guys.
As a marketer, a lot of the times we're so focused on other people's marketing.
Yeah.
Girl, Randy. I'm Victoria Alana Taylor. I am the co-host of the Creative Wiki with my co-host, Randy.
Yeah, who's asked? Somebody asked?
Yes.
Oh. Hey, Christina. Yeah.
Hi, Christina.
She's Victoria. Victoria Taylor Marketing. She's amazing.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. So, stuff like that, as simple as it is, and just my ads, like doing ads, doing my own marketing. Sometimes the apps that I refer to customers, I will purchase them so that they'll help with my marketing. Like Hootsuite, I've upgraded my Hootsuite account. I've updated my Canva account so I have more access to things without having to go to a graphic designer. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of the times we do photography for other clients. We do video editing. We do graphics. We do marketing, but we never invest the money into our own business, which is going to help us to get more clients. So investing in your business is a must.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the next one is financial goals, personal.
Yeah, that's
and
you.
And then you have financial goals, business.
So how do you, how do you set your financial goals? And specifically, what goals were important when you started versus what goals are important to you now?
Are important to me now? Okay, so I'm gonna be really quick.
And you could probably specify between short versus midterm or long-term goals.
Okay, so the short-term goal was my rent had to be paid and I needed food to eat.
straight.
And my long-term goal was that I should be able to not only, it was quality over quantity. So it wasn't that I needed a lot of customers. It was that I needed customers who were willing to pay X amount each month, and that would be enough. And for me, sometimes that's just as little as 2 or 3 customers for my packages, my 500 or 400 packages, and that's easily like $9,000 or almost $2,000 a month. So that works for me. And when I was creating my goals, and if you see Tuesday Tips on my page,
Tuesday Tips,
I always talk about goals because you have to define them. So you can't just say, yo, I want to make money. You have to say how much money you want to make and when do you want to make it. And you have to give yourself a reasonable time frame. 3 to 6 months is reasonable. And I think personal goals, it would be just to be able to have savings, investments. I buy stocks when I get the chance, not as much as I would like to, but I buy stocks because that's also an investment. I also buy bonds or unit trusts. That's really slow, but it's still better than nothing.
Long term, yeah.
Yeah. And also
you want to have a diversified portfolio.
Exactly. So that, and I also, my personal goal has always been to also invest in businesses or things. So if I see a person who has a business that I like, sometimes I'll be like, all right, here's X amount, give me back X amount back. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's like having a defined financial goal. How much money do I want to make at X time? What am I going to do to get there? And what happens if I don't meet that goal? Because you have to have a plan B. And that's it.
All right, pause. Somebody asks, Mafia Berta asks, what does Victoria Knows Best do? Victoria, go. 30 seconds.
I am a digital and content marketer helping local and global brands market their business with digital and content marketing strategies.
There you go. She's based in Jamaica. And that's what she offers. Look for Victoria Knows Best. Follow her and click the link in her bio and you find out all the information. Yeah, all right, cool. That was pretty solid. Jafta Online is here. Big up Jafta Online. I'm a Jafta member.
Right.
Join your association if they're in Jamaica.
Oh,
yes, please. Yeah, no, we're still going. We're going. It's 1:36. We still have a lot of time.
Okay.
And we started like early. Cool. Never file your own taxes if you can. All right, let's jump to the next topic. Jig said the right clients, which I wanted to bring a call out to.
Oh, the right
having clients. The right clients is important. And how you're going to know if you have the right clients will determine. It's like a relationship.
It's a relationship.
You want to know what it is that you're looking for in a relationship.
And what you're willing to take.
And what you're willing to take and not take.
And sometimes you have to break up with clients. I had a client that she would say X in person and then she said Y in email. And whenever I did something that she said Y in the email, she would call me and say X and I said,
yeah.
Email is what I work with. So if you tell me Y in the email, I'm not going to do Y. Don't call me and tell me X. And there are some clients where you have to be very polite. And there are some clients you just have to straight bat up and say, yo, no, this is not going to work. This is my professional opinion. This is what you must do. Sometimes you have to do that. And don't be afraid, because if you believe in what you are and you're good at who you are, you'll know, you'll let them know that I'm advising you because I want the best for you. Not because I'm trying to be an asshole. So just, it's a relationship. Sometimes you have to fire clients. Sometimes you have long-term relations. Sometimes you break up, but every now and then you connect. You know, it's just, but you have to know your worth. in business and personal relationships.
Yeah, you have to know your worth. All right, Jig says breaking up with clients is hard. It hurts, but it is necessary.
Yeah, it is necessary.
Kat says camera angles though. Big up. And Christina says nice podcast. Somebody just said this need crowd earlier. We're going to run some ads and get more crowd on it. Yeah, we'll go on. We'll work on it.
We're fresh. We're young.
And it will be on YouTube and it will be on podcast streams by Monday. And
Wednesday.
Oh, Mafia asked, do we have us? Does Victoria Knows Best have a store? No, it's a digital. Just go online and talk to her.
She has a website. And I have a free 30-minute consultation that I give because not a lot of like new business owners or creatives can afford a marketing. But I always give a free 30-minute consultation. And the other day, Daniel told me it's more than 30 minutes. And I was like,
yeah, it was 90, like an hour and a half.
I know. Yeah. But it's just that I'm so passionate about helping people. And just message me, book a time, and we'll talk. It's as easy as that. I'm really accessible, and my website is there. I have blogs. I have Tuesday tips on a lot of things. So check it out. Tell me what you think. And again, you need help, free 30-minute consultation, courtesy of Victoria Taylor at Bean Studios.
Yeah. So, and also, reminder, just to ask you questions. If you have any questions, drop them in the question box here. Mm-hmm. You have to be following us to drop the question there. And Christina says she wants some of that wine. Maybe we'll soon have wine giveaways.
You know, we probably should
definitely give away. We're working on it. We're working on a wine sponsor. So remember to drop the questions. We're going to take the questions separately. Mafia Berta, go to Victoria Knows Best and you'll get all the information you need. So we're going to jump to financial goals for businesses.
When you first started your business compared to when you have your business now, what's the main difference between those goals? Mm-hmm. And give me a moment in your life that really forced you to make a defined and clear goal. Like share a story of when you realize, this didn't have to be one of the goals. So what's the difference between now and then? And what was the moment that pushed you to be like, this has to be a financial goal?
All right. So then, what the difference was then I was building. And when you're building, you want a strong foundation. So I tried to inform and educate myself about, you know, I was doing photography mainly at the time. All right. What kind of lenses do I need? I'm doing event. What kind of flashes do I need? What kind of camera do I need? You know, how long do I need this camera to last? You know, what will be the next step up? So I was always trying to study and see what other persons were doing globally to ensure that I was working at a certain standard. And that's something you find in other more developed countries. Standardization is very important. You see that they say, all right, cool. Well, a professional will work with this, that. Truth and be told, you can kind of work with anything that you want. Mafia. Contact. Okay, let me ignore it.
No, I'm just reminding you to go slow.
Yeah, thank you. Truth and be told, if you can create with any tool, the tools add to the value of what you do, but you just kind of want to know what the standards are so you know what you're supposed to build towards. Because there are clients who do look towards certain kinds of equipment and they'll hire you because you know that you have that kind of equipment. But I think it speaks to professionalism, brand, and reliability. Like earlier, we were talking about if you want to charge X price, then your brand has to follow. So if you want to charge the red prices.
Brand at cost and cost at brand.
Yeah, so if you want to charge red prices, you can't be using a Canon T7i and then coming to the client shoot and I tell them, say, yeah, I charge them $20,000 US for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have the right equipment that can give them that certain level of surety and a certain level of quality to ensure that they're satisfied.
Because at the end of the day, a lot of Jamaican people will complain about pricing, but when you give them good work, they shut up so quick.
They're still going to
complain the next day about them going.
Exactly. So then it was about ensuring that I had all the more important things. As a photographer, that was flashes, camera, various lenses, a second camera body. And ensuring that at that time I wasn't thinking about like, you know, accountant and stuff, because those things weren't important. I was very small as a freelancer, under the amount that I need, the thresholds for taxes and whatever. So it was fine for that, most of that. Now, what's important as a business is, you know, the financial goals vary because, all right, now I have an office, I have a studio space. You know, I have to think about the clients that I'm meeting. I have to think about jobs that I may get overseas. So I have to think about ensuring that I have a financial cushion and some liquidity to make sure that I can, if I need to move or do on a project or work on something now, that's different. So having more money in the bank is important. Having better equipment is important. Taking a risk to ensure that you're staying up to date. Because at this level in the market, you want to make sure that you You're working with the tools that you need.
That moment that forced you to make an important financial goal.
Yeah.
What happened? What? Give me a story. What happened where you realized, like, it kicked you and you're like, oh, shit, I actually need to, this has to be a goal. This
I think the biggest kick was when I lost all of my equipment. So in 2016, my equipment was stolen. Most people on here would know about that. Everything was stolen. Because I packed up, was heading to a shoot in Mobe, stopped to get some food for about 15 minutes. By the time I go in and come out, and the car was parked like it wasn't very far, like two car lengths away from the front of the store, and security was there. But that's another story. So at that point, because I was back to ground zero,
yeah,
I had to think about everything. At that time, I was doing a lot more videography than photography, because I was working with Art Creative Media Limited. It was a company with four of us, and that's what we were doing at the time. I focused more on video at that point. So at that point, I was like, all right, I need to buy a back camera. I got back some money from GoFundMe to buy a laptop. Which direction do I need to go? What is going to get me the best out of most? And what do I want to do? What's my passion? What's my long term? At that point, I was like, filming. Video and filming was really where I wanted. I love the complexity. I love the challenge. It was very new to me still. There's a lot for me to learn. And it made a lot more money for the company and for myself. So at that point, I was like, well, right now I need to invest. And I said, all right, I'm going to get a video specific camera. I got a Blackmagic cinema camera and I got a proper lens. I spoke to my brethren, Darren, and I know he shot with Blackmagic. So I tested his camera, got some test footage. And I know, so to make sure that the decision I was going to make was the right decision for me. And he really helped me with a lot of tips to make sure that I got the right stuff. And I built up my rig. And up to this day, I still have this camera. I just got another Blackmagic camera, so now I have two Blackmagics that are working together. They're working, they're good for long term. So that's really, that to me was that turning moment. Point. Okay. You know, there are a lot of things that happen as really, you know, demand from clients.
Yeah.
And you know, you're shooting and realize the cameras can't
also,
keep up.
You took that situation and you decided that was where you're going to decide where the hell you were going to go.
Yeah.
And the value that you were going to bring with it.
Yeah.
As well. Okay.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's what it was. So Victoria, questions. So we have some questions with some J Bree. I'll call her Bree. Victoria, were you self-taught or was marketing something you studied at UA?
I didn't go to UA. I don't know why everybody thinks I've gone to UA. I went to UTech.
Yeah.
I went to UTech, and there's nothing wrong with going to UA. It's just that I am a little bit proud of my school. Okay. So I went to
UTech. I went to UTech too.
I went to UTech and I studied structural engineering. My mom is an engineer. Engineering was actually super easy for me. I did TD in high school. Sick. And then afterward, when it was like my second to last year, I was like, yo, I don't want to do this. Like, I had a teacher tell me, like, you really don't, like, you are a B, you're like a B plus student, but you can be an A plus student. So what's going on? And I was like, I don't know what that, this sounds like a lot to do.
Yeah.
And then I went home. I wanted to take a year off. My mom wanted me to continue after you get your bachelor's, you get your master's. But
yeah.
I was like, yeah, man, sure. But I just never did the application. I just learned. I was self-taught. I started teaching. My philosophy is you cannot be broke in 2020. Or 20, anytime the internet was invented.
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus. You just have to learn. So I'm self-taught. I learn. I also learn through my work. Everything is experience. I've also had the opportunity to work at the lab. It's a great place to work. I don't work there anymore, but I do love it. I learned a lot of things. There are a lot of really
big up the lab
there.
Mm. Big up Kimala.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm self-taught and you are too. And the Jamaica Digital Acadia, she's also self-taught and she is a badass.
Yeah.
Like, she's a badass.
Yeah, her page sick still, her page clean. And I'm learning more about her, so yeah.
She's a badass. You're like, I'm a badass, but yo, she's a badass. Like, if there's a badass class, I would be in it as a student and she would be the teacher of the badass class. So yeah.
Big up, Acadia. Yeah, cool. All right, so let's scroll through. So we're going to go through some questions now and see what. Mafia, please go to Victoria Knows Best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Manin says, "Ima bad me up for your phone number." please go to Victoria Knows Best. Manin says, at the starting point, business validation, product marketing fit, product market fit, unique value proposition are all things being discovered to build that foundation.
I love how you said unique value proposition. Guys, if you don't know what value proposition is, you go online and you go find out. That's going to affect your marketing, your branding, and your pricing. And you can't just
say, Vicky, teach them.
I am the best at the quality. Value proposition.
Teach them, Vicky, teach them.
Sorry, continue. Sorry. That
Cool. All right, so let's see. Remind them going down. Good tips. You have to keep clients online. All right, cool. Let's see what's some stuff. I'm scrolling through, guys. What are your tips for a beginner in photography? Well, we're speaking mostly to financial tips right now. So, Brie, if you want me to talk about that, just DM me and we can talk about that off air. Mafia says, Randy, I think you need to go live in a bit to talk about your photography. Yeah, man, sure. I'll go live maybe on Monday and you guys jump on and we'll talk about photography generally. What are the key features in making yourself be seen by the necessary people? So that's about marketing.
That is about marketing. Yeah. Guys, if you have marketing, branding, or content questions,
Brie, shoot Victoria
DM
offline.
DM me. I answer all of my DMs all the time. Yeah. So DM me, ask, and I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm. So DM Victoria Knows Best. Brie says she sees senior on campus before. I don't know if it's you.
Oh, yeah.
Evan says, big up UTech people every time. Yeah, although we need like a hand sign. Yeah, UTech. Big up UTech. Yeah. good girl, UTech. Cool. All right. So I have two questions in the question thing. Let's see if there. Jewel asked, why is keeping track important? You want to take that one?
I think you should take that one.
Why is keeping track important? Because the tax man will come and get you.
Because if you keep spending without knowing, you could be spending more than you actually should or you need to.
Yeah, you're spending more than you earn. Keeping track is important. So at the end of the year, you can look at your profit margin, the revenue, what you had. Yeah, you can look at just the trends, which area of your business. Say you're doing wedding photography and event photography. You can see what the profit margin was between wedding and event and which one is better. And that can help you to decide where to invest more.
Yeah,
cool. All right, so let's take the last question and then we're off.
Yeah.
Cool. And our last question is, we have two questions.
And guys, don't forget to follow The Creative Weekly on Instagram and YouTube. We're there.
Yeah.
And DM Randy for photography video or creative questions. DM me for branding, marketing, or questions.
Yeah.
We're always going to answer. We're here to help. Go
Christina
ahead.
Says you have to take a look at what to expect and you expect profit proper accounting. Keep track and do so you don't go above budget. Well,
yes.
All right. So, Alec, this Instagram cuts the video off at 1 hour. So, we have to keep it on the hour.
Yeah.
So, that's where we're going after. All right. So, Adrian asked, as an artist, rather unknown, I have no idea how to price my art. What should my process be?
I think we spoke about that.
We spoke about how to price yourself.
You DM people, see that are doing the same type of art as you, see what their prices are like. Also take into account what's the market value and check overseas as well. And then learn along the way, but you need to know what other people are charging so you don't overcharge. So you have to do some investigation.
Investigate, research, send some bogus email to people. You have to look at what other artists who are doing the same kind of work that you're doing and then use that as a litmus to kind of guide you. Next question is, thanks Christina for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, Manin says, take a look at your industry, see what your expenses are, and find a reasonable profit margin that makes sense. You have to know how much expenses are, and that will guide you in making your prices.
Cutting
your expenses, because broke is not cute.
Is not cute.
Last question that we'll take is, how do you guys set and track goals on a yearly, quarterly basis?
How do you guys set and track? First, you set your goal. Then you make sure that every quarterly or yearly, you check back on your goal. It's really that simple.
Yeah, you need to set metrics. So what are your KPIs? What are your key performance indicators for each goal? So say, for example, your goal is for wedding. You want to get 3 wedding jobs every quarter.
Yeah.
And those are, you want, for example, you want to make $10,000 every quarter from wedding US. you know that, all right, well, you watch how many jobs you're getting and you check it at a periodic, you know, periodically.
Yeah.
So every month or so on.
Am I getting this job?
And that will help to
if
guide
you. If you're not getting enough job, you need to push your promotion, reach out to people more. If you see yeah. that you're getting more, then you need to maybe recheck your yearly goal.
Yeah, and maybe your goal needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to expand. Yeah.
I think we have one more.
Yeah, we have one more. Let me just see what the quick comments are. Yeah, cool. We're almost there. She's. They can see you pointing at the time.
I know you guys.
She is pointing at the time.
I don't want to run out of time.
Beginning in finance, where should I start? Where should we start? Jewel asked where she should start in beginning finance.
Check out Thriving Dollars.
Thriving Dollars on Instagram by Kenisha Mays.
Yes.
She's a good financial advisor. She's someone I've worked with personally.
Thriving
Dollars. I can vouch for her. She has different packages. She has public information available, and you can message us offline too.
Yeah.
Thriving
Dollars.
Manin says you'll save part two of that question for another live. Sure, no problem. We'll have more. Can you talk dating on a budget?
First of all,
dating on a budget. This is not the
dating on a budget. First of all, you should not be dating if you don't have money to be dating, right?
True.
And it depends on the level of your relationship. If you guys have been going out for a while, you know, make sure you do something romantic, like cook for her, set an ambiance.
Yo, listen to me, you know. Can't listen to Victoria. Victoria is an uppity woman, you know, so she's everything tall.
I'm sorry,
so
that I have class.
So she have class and something, but dating on a budget, you just like live within your means and be creative.
And
because
let
you can
her
do a lot. Yeah.
And if she let her know that listen.
Or him.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm on a budget. I want to make it work. Let's come up with an idea that we can both enjoy.
Yeah.
And if the person left, that's not the person for you.
Yeah.
The
and if you're in girl stay, invite girl up on date, don't care them girl. TGIF when you have tasty money. Alright, cool. Bless up Mike Park. Mike, bless up Virgin. You came in late, but we're about to wrap. Nightly Letter says, most times I charge by complexity now instead of by the hour because I tend to finish a lot in a short amount of time. That speaks to value pricing.
Yeah, that definitely speaks to value proposition and pricing.
So, yes.
All right, let's wrap.
Alex says, charge per hour, then material cost plus value of product. I think that speaks directly
really
to the artist.
Yeah.
That's a good, yeah. Because, that's...
Read that one over for the person who is a young artist.
The young artist, all Alex said, charge per hour, then material cost plus value of product.
Yeah, that's
there
a really
go.
Good formula. Thank you so much.
So guys, we are about to wrap. Hailey Simone.
What are you talking about?
Victoria says Uptown. Omar Kamara says Victoria Uptown girl. Yeah, Uptown still. Mm-hmm. So we're wrapping, guys. So this week has been the Money Talk and the Money Walk. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for being here.
We are here
every week on a Friday at 1 p.m. Drinking wine and talking about...
Everything that relates to creative business, lifestyle,
last thing before we go. Jewel, yes. So our book for giveaway. Which book will I give
Jewel,
her?
It's
her week to give away a book.
Okay, we're also going to give away Damn Good Advice for Creative People. It's a good book that gives you advice if you're a creative person. So that's the next book. Jewel is holding us accountable. Follow the Creative Weekly
Jewel says,
for
thank
more.
You. Follow the Creative Weekly. We'll be posting how to win each of these books at the Creative Weekly on Instagram.
We also have replays of this.
Yeah.
We have snippets. We have more apps. We have tools. We have tips. And guys, keep we love the tips. We love everything you've been saying. Keep talking. Keep going. DM us if you want to know about photography, videography, business.
Yeah, entrepreneurship, freelancing.
Marketing.
Just feel free to message me. I respond.
Yeah.
I'm an email ninja. We'll be doing this regularly, and we plan to just keep going with this, and we'll revisit all of these topics to same way and different ways.
So
feel free to DM us. I'm at the Creative Weekly on Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow us and just keep in touch. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
All right, cheers. Cheers. Bye, guys. Later. My battery is dead, too,
Bye.
So we're off a cut. Later, guys.